Atlanta is right now the college football center of the world. The University of Georgia Dogs will try to stem the University of Alabama's tide. A win tonight for Georgia would be the first national championship victory for that team in more than 35 years. We have a preview for you with GPB's senior sports correspondent, John Nelson. He joins us on the line. Good morning.
Morning, Celeste.
And also with us from Bulldogs Country is University of Georgia sports journalism professor Vicki Michaelis. Welcome back.
Good morning to you.
So, Vicki, describe the scene. I mean, how crazy excited is the city right now?
But, you know, yesterday I was driving, I don't know where, somewhere early on a Sunday morning, right? And they had the people out selling jerseys, and people were there buying them. Normally on a Sunday morning in Athens, Georgia, I'm the only one out. So that's how crazy it is.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the chances of the UGA team. And John, let's go to you first. There's an extra sort of element of drama in this game, right? Because of the relationship between Kirby Smart and Nick Saban. Here's a recent press conference in which the Georgia coach, Kirby Smart, was asked what he had learned while working with Alabama coach Nick Saban.
You know, he never asked anybody in the organization to work any harder than he did. He held every person on the staff, and I'm not talking about just coaching staff, I'm talking about the entire organization, to be at their best. And I think that's sometimes a lost art in some organizations. You see successful business organizations run that way, but you don't always see athletic programs run that way.
John, how does that relationship play into this game?
Well, I mean, really, the first question that I would have is really, how much does the teacher teach the student? How much does he hold, you know, in his own little clipboard in the back, and how much does he reveal in these situations? I mean, if you want to get into statistics, Nick Saban is 11-0 when he's going up against former assistant coaches. So if you're a Georgia fan, you look at that number and you sit there and you go, okay, well, that doesn't bode well for us. But at the same time, Kirby Smart has developed into his own coach, and how much personality does Kirby have in this particular game? And in games in the past, in big games in the past, Nick Saban has had a tendency to overthink situations. How much overthinking does he do if it gets tight later on? You know, I look at this as almost like being at Talladega when you're at a NASCAR event. When you have all those cars in one line in the draft, looking at the aerodynamics of the situation, if the one car steps out of line, that car goes to the back of the line very quickly. Which one of these two coaches steps out of line, and can they get back in line to get focused on a win sooner than they can?
That's John Nelson comparing these two coaches to an automobile.
Yep.
Vicki, let's play one more comment here. This is Alabama head football coach Nick Saban, and he's saying that he feels good going to this game. They both say that, but here's Nick.
I've been really, really pleased with what this team has been able to accomplish this year. We've had to overcome a lot of adversity, and each and every time guys have stepped up and continue to compete at a high level, and something that we have a tremendous amount of appreciation for our staff and all the players on our team for what they've done and the opportunity they've created.
Is that Nick trying to claim underdog status?
I mean, they've had some players hurt. I'm trying to figure out what the adversity is there in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I mean, they're not the underdogs.
I don't think he can claim underdog status, you know, not when you're up against a team that hasn't won a national title for 37 years. That's tough.
Yeah, if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Vicki Michaelis, Georgia sports journalism professor and GPB sports correspondent, John Nelson. So, Vicki, what has set this team apart? What has brought them to this game in ways that for 35 years running, they haven't before?
I honestly think we're going to, and I think we already are seeing that the moment that set this team apart was Rodrigo Blankenship making that 55-yard field goal just before halftime against Oklahoma. Before then, the Bulldogs were always the team that might do it, could do it, probably won't do it. And at that moment, it was, well, the Bulldogs can do it. It made the impossible possible, and it made that second half possible. Makes anything possible tonight.
What about the players? Because a lot of people are talking about the fact that you actually have some more experienced players on the team that chose not to go to the NFL.
That core of seniors that came back, including Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, Lorenzo Carter, some, you know, big names, people who've made big plays this season. I think that's critical to what they've been able to do. That happens on other teams as well when teams see that they're close to doing something special. But it's also something that when you get them back, you have the leadership and you have confidence from the younger players saying, well, we've got the veterans to lead us.
John, how much do these college teams rely on superstars and as opposed to, you know, University of Alabama has a traditionally good football team. Which is more important?
I think that depth is more important, and I think that you've seen with the injuries that Alabama's had this season that they've been exposed. If you take into account what happened at the Iron Bowl, all the injuries that they had at linebacker, the injuries that they had on offensive line, and the depth in these situations shows where the professor has mentioned it. You know, the University of Georgia is like 38 deep at running back this season, and you've got to have that in this day and age of high-powered offenses where you really want to do things on the hop and when you can continue to shuttle players in and out and do it when they're healthy. I think in a season like this where you have playoff situations, where you're playing in championship games and you're working your way toward game 13, game 14, I think that the depth really matters. You can have all the five stars you want, but if a five star is injured and he's sitting on the bench and he's really done things for you in the first 10 or 11 games and he's not there for you in the last game of the year, that should speak volumes more than anything else.
So how much does this mean, Vicky, to the University of Georgia? And I say that because there have been recent debates over football programs in universities, whether they give back the kind of money and the kind of prestige that universities want.
I think there's a mixed bag here of what it does mean. Certainly it means everything to the athletic program. It means everything to the fans, the alumni who think it's important that we have a winning football team. But I can tell you that professors see the $30 million indoor practice facility, the $60 million renovations to Sanford Stadium, and we all know how much we have to struggle to get our programs funded, and we wonder what it means in the big picture.
And then, John, let's go to the sort of historic nature of this rivalry, because look, every single time I hear a sports announcer, they're talking about a rivalry. I mean, people can create sports rivalries out of nothing. So is
like this one?
Yeah, is this a legit historic rivalry?
Not yet. I mean, because you have the divisional structure in the Southeastern Conference, you have there's not the rival that's there as part of your crossovers. Your traditional rivals for Georgia, first and foremost, are Auburn, the longest running rivalry in the history of Southern football, and you have Florida. So really, Alabama and Georgia would only be up against each other in a championship game situation in the Southeastern Conference. And really, if you were to ask a Georgia fan, I would say that Alabama, if it was any kind of a traditional rival, might be number three on your list when it comes to teams in the SEC. I think more than anything, what this game does is it reinforces every college football fan's hatred for the Southeastern Conference, who's outside of the Southeastern United States, because you have two SEC teams playing again for a championship.
Vicky, what do you make of that? Do people hate the SEC?
I couldn't agree more, actually. It's, you know, the people don't like the haves, the have-nots who are not in the SEC right now. We're wondering what it's going to take to break this conference's hold on this game.
Okay, so then let's talk a little bit about who might win, right? We have about 3 minutes left. So I'm going to go to you first, John, and tell us, what do you think we might see other than historic levels of traffic in Atlanta at a game where both teams are within driving distance?
You mean other than historic levels of traffic where both teams are within driving distance?
Yes, other than that.
No, I think that really right now you've seen the number for Las Vegas, for those of you that believe in those kinds of things, right now 3.5 to 4, which basically Las Vegas means.
You're talking about the betting odds.
Vegas thinks right now that this is a one-point game. And I think that to the professor's point, I think that one of the key players in this game is going to be Rodrigo Blankenship. As a matter of fact, I think I have him as the MVP. And after this game is over, he will not have to pay for a single meal ever in the history of ever once this game is over. And considering Nick Saban's hatred for kickers and his easy quick hook in not using them in these games, I think that special teams could come in to play. And I think that really, don't anticipate the game being all that exciting. I think that if you wanted to pin down a flavor at an ice cream parlor for this game, I think it would be super vanilla.
Vicky, what do you think?
I mean, it's one of those things where you look on paper and you'd have to give it to Alabama, given Alabama's history in this game and how they look on paper and that depth that he referred to. But I do think that now that Georgia has seen the impossible happen in the Rose Bowl and is they're still riding that high, it'll be interesting to see if that same magic plays tonight.
Well, it's not like the cold weather is going to be working against either one of them. Both of these are Southern teams, so they're both going to be cold, right?
Just the fans and the tailgaters. Those are the ones who will be affected.
That is John Nelson. He is GPB's sports correspondent, and we also spoke with University of Georgia sports journalism professor Vicki Michaelis. Thanks so much to both of you.
Be well.
Thank you for having me.
Tonight's national championship game between Georgia and Alabama starts at 8 o'clock at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. Just a note, not only is that national championship game going to bring in a lot of fans from all around the Southeast, but the president is going to be coming with his wife as well, which will add to traffic. So be careful.